Welcome to In Moderation,
the show where we give you a moderate dose of info, sarcasm, and we already know we're not approved.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to episode 2 of In Moderation, which is back after an extended break. Why? Because Rob went to another country and got fucked up. Rob,
yeah,
people are very
did.
Curious what happened.
Well, if you want me to tell you about that, first you have to tell me about yourself, because in this episode, we're talking about who we are, how we got here, and why we do this.
That works for me, because my favorite subject is me.
So, Liam, tell us about your beginnings.
Well, let me tell you, Rob, when I was younger, my parents were very into nutrition and exercise and all that good stuff. And I'm going to tell you something else. I fucking hated it. It was awful. It was terrible because all my friends had like the wheat bread or potato bread, all this delicious stuff, you know, soda, juices. I'm sitting here with my wheat germ mixed into my plain Greek yogurt, and it's terrible. I mean,
see, I'm one of the kids you would have hated because I had all the candy in my lunch kit.
I got some, like, it wasn't awful. Listen, I got some stuff, but for the most part, I was like, man, how come all my friends get all this delicious food and I'm sitting here with just bran flakes in a cup? Anyway, so my mom was very into nutrition, and that's what sort of got me interested into it. And I've always been interested in the medical field. I started off in nursing school. I eventually got into nursing school. The school was terrible. And when I say terrible, I mean about as terrible as it can get. I mean, talking about new chair coming in, looking at the old semester and saying, wow, it was so bad. We're just going to give you a test. And if you pass this test, you pass the whole semester because it's that bad. So it was for profit, not accredited. I didn't realize until I was already in it. Sucks. Left there with nothing but a bunch of student debt and sadness. So then I moved on to a different school that the only medical program they had that wasn't filled up for years was sleep medicine. So I was like, okay, that sounds good. I'll do that. Even still, there's a wait list.
You'll knock people out with a rubber mallet.
Oh, I'll get, you know, just give me anything. I was like, literally medical field. Just give me, what do you got? So I just ended up in that. And after I graduated, I knew I didn't want to live in New York. Like, I was being upstate New York. There was so much, there's like crime and just, I've been robbed, pistol whipped, all sorts of things. Not great. A bunch of not great things. Terrible. So then I basically applied every place in the country that was looking for a sleep tech. I mean, not some places, because who wants to move from North Dakota? It's not even the best Dakota, let alone the best state. So I eventually ended up getting a job offer in Columbus, which I was like, Ohio, that sounds terrible. And people were like, actually, Columbus is pretty nice. I was like, okay, let me go see. So I drove all the way down here, checked it out. I was like, wow, this is actually really nice. So I met with the people. I took a small position there. For a couple years, and then got a job offer at Ohio State, which I took immediately because of their tuition assistance program, so I could they would pay for me to go back to school. And even then, I wasn't sure exactly what I wanted to do, but just working in the medical field, you just see how many people are dealing with chronic illnesses. I think chronic illnesses, I'm not sure the exact number, make up like 70% of all the issues we deal with. And a lot of those, in America at least, a lot of those can be prevented, treated at least through just, you know, balanced diet, exercise, you know, all that good stuff. So I was like, well, what can I get into? And I saw they had the dietetics program here. So I applied for that and eventually got in. And I'm finally now starting to, you know, I'm like really getting into the classes and everything. It's been really enjoyable. But I think that's enough of me. So why don't we move back over to your side, Rob? I think we got to start with the big stuff.
Yeah, it is
just kind of the elephant in the room. Okay, so crunchy or creamy peanut butter?
Crunchy.
Crunchy.
It's
got to
be crunchy all the way.
Absolutely. Okay. Toilet paper over or under?
Over.
Exactly.
Anybody that's under is a sadist.
I completely agree. All right, I think that about wraps it up. Should we just do the closing outro?
There we go, outro, and we're done. Boom.
Have a good night, everybody.
Episode over.
Okay, but no, seriously, though. How'd you get interested in nutrition?
Oh, man. So, like I mentioned, I was the kid that got to go to school with all the candy.
Hated
and
that kid.
we probably wouldn't have been friends in school. But no, seriously, my lunch kit was what people would consider the unhealthiest thing ever. It was mostly candy. But I actually grew up like very underweight because I was highly active. I did a lot of activities. I did a lot of sports. I was active in the scouting movement. I spent like a third of my childhood camping. So
that's why your parents tried to give you so much candy, is to put a weight on you. They're like, give this kid all the Milky Ways or whatever you have in Canada. I don't know if you have Milky Ways. You probably got something else weird.
I'm pretty sure we have Milky Ways.
Good. I like that. Good candy bar.
But Mr. Biggs are the best.
I don't know what that is.
That's a Canadian candy bar, and they are giant candy bars.
So one person on this listening to this is like, oh, I know that. I had that as a kid.
Yeah, one Canadian that's listening to this, Canadian, you know what I'm talking about.
Mr.
Big, all dressed. We got the good stuff. So I was eating lots of candy, but being highly active. So I didn't develop, I didn't develop any weight problems, obviously, being underweight. Well, I developed weight problems in the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm, you're right.
Or in the other direction. And I also, this is my personal anecdote. I get this is just an anecdote, but my personal anecdote about how candy in and of itself won't cause diabetes, because I ate way more candy than anybody else in my class. I ate all the Mr. Bigs. And it was like some of the other kids that weren't quite as active as me, even though they had like super healthy lunches, that developed diabetes, unfortunately. But I spent a lot of my youth trying to actually put on some weight. I did try to exercise a bit and try to put some muscle on, but I was never really taught how to do it. I never was taught the value of protein.
Oh, yeah. You just get the muscle magazines and you look at it and you're like, I want to look like this dude. And he's just holding up a giant tub of protein powder. And you're like, that's how he did it. It wasn't all the things he stuck in his butt.
Oh, man. But, getting into my 20s, I started developing health problems from being underweight and not having enough muscle mass. And that's when I really started to get into fitness and actually started reading about it more. And that's when I started to fall prey to all the supplement scams, of course.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, yeah. We all fall prey to those. Don't feel bad about it. It's unfortunate it happens, but...
Do you think it's better or worse now? Like with social media, yes, it's around more, but there's also more information. Kind of back in your day, it was like you get a magazine and you just see this and you're like, oh yeah, that's what I totally need. I got this.
I feel like there's the better opportunity to be educated about it.
Right.
Definitely. Like the actual pushing of the supplements is just as bad, but there's the better opportunity that somebody is going to see proper education.
I would
about
say
it.
It's even worse now, like the pushing, because it's just everywhere on social media, but at least now you have people kind of combating it and trying to get that out there. So hopefully if you fall into it, you only fall into it for like a few weeks, a month.
Yeah, exactly. Like some people will say, oh, well, I wasted a year buying this one thing. And I'm thinking like, I wasted like 3 years or 4 years buying that thing. So don't feel bad.
Yeah, you get sucked in. Like back then, you were just in it. Like it took like a buddy being like, "Hey, bro, that's not a great idea. You just have to wait for that."
And like from there, it just grew, and I started to read more and more and research more and more. And unfortunately, I didn't get the opportunity to do post-secondary. I also grew up with mental health issues. I had severe social anxiety disorder, which made it hard for me to even go outside my house. Lots of depression, just really bad mental health. I also, not the most well-off family. And as I was getting into my 20s, my mom developed cancer. My dad developed degenerative disc disorder. So just a lot of things going on. And... while I didn't get to do post-secondary, I did end up getting to learn a lot through experience and real world experience and befriending a lot of people in the various professions, getting to talk to lots of people, which I think, honestly, if I had to do it over again, I would still do it the same way because I end up learning better that way. That's the way that works for me for learning.
And I do want to translate for Americans. Post-secondary, that's like college, university. That's what... So I don't... We're we got a little different setup over here.
Oh, I'm sorry. You guys don't call it post-secondary?
I have never heard that in my entire life.
Oh, well then. Yes, college, university, whatever. Whatever after high school, that's post-secondary. God, yes. Secondary is high school.
Listen, I'm sure there's a bunch of dumb people listening to this podcast like me. They're like, I don't know what that is. So, you know, just got to clear it up for them.
But yeah, the conventional learning never really worked well for me. Like, I was the kid that slept in class. Everyone hated me. And it wasn't a secret. The teachers knew it.
And they were like, it's all that candy he's been eating at lunch. That's
it's all that
doing
candy
it.
I've been eating, yeah. In grade 11 in Math 20 Pure, which I don't know what you guys call Math 20 Pure, I was actually napping on my desk one day, and the kid beside me, the teacher's in the middle of lecturing something to do with fractions, of course. And the kid beside me, literally in the middle of class, just yells out, "Teacher, teacher, Rob's sleeping." The teacher turns around, looks at him, and just goes, "You start getting 97% on your tests, and you can sleep in class too." And then just turns around and goes back to teaching.
That's a good teacher right there. That's a teacher that knows what's up.
Awesome teacher. Yeah.
And then he got fired the next day.
I was a little worried I was going to get beat up by everyone after that, but...
Oh, man.
Learning in the field always worked a lot better for me. And I got a lot of opportunities to work with a lot of people, and I really enjoyed it.
Well, you definitely learn more what you're actually, like, interested in, whereas with college or university... I'll tell you, like, there's just so many times I'm sitting there like, why am I learning about this? Like, don't get me wrong, it's cool, but this has zero to do with what I am in college. I've taken everything from Roman art and architecture to, you know, various math classes, all sorts of things that have nothing to do with nutrition, but that's just part of the curriculum, and that's just what I have to take.
Yeah, you do get a better general education. And when you're in the field, you get the chance to be more specific with what you're doing. And of course, different educations work for different people.
Absolutely.
But that's one of the biggest questions I get is like, what, do I have a doctorate or whatever? And it's like, no, I never got the opportunity to do a post-secondary, but I do my best with what I was given. And I took the opportunities everywhere I could to learn what I can. So.
Yeah, I mean, we are in the 21st century now. For most people, you have the ability to learn about whatever you're pretty much interested in. Like, the information is out there. That's what's amazing about it. As long as you can get away from your cat videos and all sorts of whatever we're watching, the Daily Dose of Internet. Any fans out there? Oh, I watch that all the time. You know, then you do have an opportunity to learn about whatever you're interested in.
Yeah, well, everybody else was busy. All of my other friends were busy with cat videos. I was busy talking to various professionals in the field and doing research and stuff. So, but yeah, that's pretty much how I got into fitness, was just gradually getting more and more deeper into it. And it becoming more and more, like, I really liked the feeling of getting healthier, obviously.
Well, you do personal training now, right? So obviously at some point you decided to get like certified in personal training. So you decided like, you need something with that.
Yeah. In my getting into my early 30s, I was getting tired of doing the various work that I was already doing. lots of handiwork, leather work, manual crafts. And I still love doing that as a hobby, but it's one of those things that I shouldn't have done as work. It was not, it was, it's fun as a hobby, not something I enjoyed as work. And I was like, I'm really enjoying this, helping people be healthier. I enjoyed like getting myself healthier. I enjoy learning all this stuff about exercise science, nutrition, all this. Why am I not making this my profession?
I 100% agree. I would sit there like if doing other whatever I was taking classes for. I would just sit there and watch like videos on nutrition. Just like, you know, all sorts of, you know, just I was like, what? I want to, because when you go, like I'm telling you, when you go to like, you go to college, there's so many times where you just sit there and think like, how does this apply to me? Right? Like, how does this apply to me? And when it's like nutrition, for me, it's like a one-to-one, like right there, you know, like this incredibly important. And that's what always drove me towards it. But then you've been doing personal training pretty much since then.
Yep. Since then I've been doing the personal training, and I've been considering going back and getting like a degree in nutrition or something at some point. I don't feel it's necessary. I feel like a lot of people just use their degree to show off.
Right, of course.
As long as you learn properly what you're doing. Yeah, no kidding.
Sorry, I just had to cough there for a second.
Oh, I completely understand. That was a very important cough to get out. But yeah, as long as you're taking the time to learn, to keep yourself open to the experiences and everything.
I mean, I think you have to ask yourself, like, if you got the degree, would that add anything to your
life?
Right?
Like, I don't feel like that would add anything to my life. I feel like that's just me having something on the website so that people are like, oh, he has a degree, because people have that reaction to it. So I don't feel like it's important for me to go do it. It's just one of those things. I might go do it at some point, but at the same time, I don't really want to go into debt.
That's why I took the position, and I work for Ohio State University. I pay like $100 a semester. Like, it's not much. And my goal has always been to work with people one-on-one and work with their nutrition. Yeah. So I felt like that's something I really wanted. Even if it's going to take me a while and I'm only doing it part-time, but I'll get there eventually.
And like at this point, having grown into social media and stuff, I've gotten the awesome opportunities to learn from a lot of professionals in their field at this point. Gotten to befriend a lot of people. I'm sure you have too.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
On that note, how did you get into social media?
Man, I will tell you, social media is a place. It is a straight up place. Like we were just talking about, there's just so much information out there. And, you know, like when I started, I was like, okay, I just want to make some simple little videos on like how to eat healthier, and here's some things that you might want to do. And then I, you know, started getting a little bit of a following, and then people just started tagging me in videos that I was like, what is this? Like, this is just so extreme, so in a next level, out of the stratosphere, bonkers, crazy. And so it literally just started off where I was just like, okay, I'll make a little video, but like, hey, this is not actually right. Like, you don't really need to worry about this. And there's just so much animosity, and everyone's just angry over everything. I think it's almost like food is a religion to people. Like you become keto, like you are within the keto stratosphere. Like you are within the keto, like cult almost. And anytime anyone says something about your diet, you're almost saying something about them as well. Like, even if it's
negative, it becomes personal.
Becomes so personal. And so a lot of my content honestly just like switched to, we need to bring it down so many notches. I don't know how many notches, we'll figure it out later, but this needs to just like, we need to relax on how personal people take this, you know. For me, like doing like the keto diet, like that's just one of the biggest ones right now. So I'm talking about that. But like, it makes me want to crawl into a hole and die. Like, I hate it so much. There's nothing about it I like, and I hate everything about it. But for other people, they love it, and that's what works for them. So, you know, I say, hey, you know, go right ahead. But my goodness, like, if I just say, like, hey, you know, carbs aren't that terrible, then I just get so much. I got a lot of hate for saying, do what works for you, that I was like, well, I'm just going to lean into this, and if people hate me, that's totally fine. So I'm just going to be be my fucking sarcastic self, enjoy my time, and just see how it goes. And you know what? The response was overwhelmingly, it was good and positive. So, you know, and
well, I mean, how dare you tell people to do things that work for them instead of giving them a cut and dry template that they have to follow?
Yeah, like everybody all the time is just like, what foods do you have to cut out? What foods am I not allowed to have? I'm like, holy shit, we are starting off on such a bad foot. Like, that is not the way to do it at all.
And we've got such bad black and white mentality towards it.
I never in a gajillion billion years thought I would be like defending Cheetos and Oreos and shit when I started this. Like, and all I'm saying is like, hey, they are food. And people are like, no, they're not food. They're garbage, toxic poisons. God. And I was like, no, you don't want to eat a lot of them, but you know, it's totally fine. And I mean, that's just kind of how it all just came together. Like, not how I expected it at all.
Like, if we define food is something that provides you with some sort of sustenance that you need.
Calories, carbohydrates,
and calories,
proteins,
are
fats.
One of those things.
Yeah, like, holy shit. Like, it is what you, it just drove me so great. Like, I'm sure when you started off, you must have been like, oh yeah, I'll do some videos on like teach people to exercise, you know, a little bit more and, you know, these things. And then what was your experience? Like, did you just see like all at once just the craziness, or did it just get worse and worse as time went on?
It was interesting. It, 'cause I started off a lot more towards making, more exercise and physio related videos, and that was an intense experience for me. I first started on TikTok. I just put a video up just kind of as an experiment for myself to try and push myself, because I was still suffering quite a bit with the social anxiety disorder.
So you're trying to push yourself outside the comfort zone.
So trying to push myself outside the comfort zone. I just wanted to put up a social media video. And after like just a couple of videos, all of a sudden it just absolutely took off on me. I don't even remember what half the videos are about.
It's so
but I got like 200,000 followers in just a couple months.
Yes,
to the point where I like, with all the rage people combined with the sheer growth, it ended up just shutting me down. It was too much at once. I actually had to take a year off.
It's so funny because that is the exact opposite experience I had. Where like, well, I started off with like silly gym skit videos because like I'm a loser and a weirdo. And so I like just making like stupid videos, like playing different characters and shit. Like I like doing that sort of stuff. And then I was like, okay, let me make some nutrition content. And it really took a while. Like, it took months and months. And then eventually, once I hit like 50,000 followers, something like that, then it started growing exponentially after that. But like, I could definitely see how getting a lot of success all at once, it's like childhood stars. You know how they always turn out well put together and no problems whatsoever, and they're like perfect when they get older? Right, like it just destroys, like right off the bat it's just like all that just
the amount of like not so much like the stupidity of the like the toxin people and stuff like that, but just the stupidity in the comments and the rage and
So was this over kind of exercise things then? Because you were doing exercise like videos, like how were people just like arguing over like little things about?
Yeah, it's like the little things about like what's optimal.
Right.
And,
okay. That's what I figured.
Yeah, and Like, it was just crazy to me that people would get this intense over it, to the point, like, they're, like, insulting people and aggressive towards people.
Yeah, I mean, exercise is another one of those things where, like, you just get, you know, again, it just becomes personal. You find something that, we're all like that. We find something that works for us, and then we think, you know, it'll work for everyone.
And yeah, that, like I said, that experience shut me down, but it also gave me the skills I needed to learn how to deal with that as well. Because it was, by all means, that's a negative experience. But one of the biggest things, people ask me how I deal with my social anxiety disorder, because a lot of people do have it.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
And I'm not kidding when I say in my teenage years, like, I was completely afraid to even leave my room, never mind make a post on social media. And now I'm posting every day. And one of the reasons that I'm able to overcome that is because I take those things and I learn from them. I don't let them hold me down. Like, yes, it was a negative experience, but I had to take that and I had to try and learn from it. I had to try to dissociate myself from the hateful people. It's like, okay, those are people that I didn't want in my life in the first place. They don't matter to me.
Absolutely.
Just ignore them.
One of the best piece of advice I've ever heard is don't take criticisms from someone you wouldn't take advice from. And I've always really liked that a lot.
Yeah. I like that a lot too.
Yeah, because, like, who are you? What? Why do I care about you? Whatever. I mean, and the nice thing about the best thing about social media, you just go block and goodbye forever, and you just move on with your life. That's what's awesome. That's, like, the best thing about it. And really, you do learn. Like, you learn, like they always say, you learn more from your failures than you do your successes. Like, I can imagine if you just, like, you know, like, if you came on social media, you started making videos, and just everything was all positive. You wouldn't, like, you just don't learn as much from that, right?
No. And speaking of learning from our failures, I think it's time to plug in last week's person that sent in an email
about their failures. I like it. I hope it's a terrible failure that we can all learn from. All right, that sounds good to me. Well, for anyone who's here who has no idea what we're about to talk about, last time we did this podcast, which was, I don't know, several weeks ago,
The Canadian sorry.
We were talking about our failures and all the things that we've learned from, which is a good segue into this. So we asked you to send in one of your failures and what you learned from it. So hopefully we can read from it, Rob and I, and everyone who's listening can learn from it.
Halen writes, and I hope I'm saying that right, Halen.
Probably not.
That's the luck, right? Hey guys, I just wanted to say how excited I am for this podcast. This summer, I recently started eating healthier and working out more. Both of you have helped so much with this change in my life. When I first started, I was obsessed with checking labels and ingredients to the point where I just wouldn't eat anything I wanted.
Been there.
Oh, yeah. I think we all have at some point.
It's your rite of passage to come into the nutrition space. First, you have to freak out, and then you have to calm down, and then you have to get to figure it out.
And you also have to buy a bunch of supplements.
Necessary. Find out they do nothing.
Then I heard about Liam's 80-20 rule, and that completely changed how I looked at food.
There we go. 80-20. If anybody doesn't know what that is, anybody's new to this, 80% minimally processed food, 20%, whatever the fuck you want, even if it's not approved.
Go watch episode 1 if you haven't. Thank you, Halen, for writing in.
Well, I think the main thing we can learn from Halen is that it is always best to start off small if you can, because you can always add from there. You have your entire life. So start off with one thing and you can add two, because if you start off with everything and then slowly take things away, you are going to be miserable that entire time. So always, as I say, add, you don't have to subtract.
And another thing is, don't ever feel like you're the only person that's ever been obsessed with food or ingredients or anything like that, because a lot of us have been there. It's something that we go through and we have to learn from, and we can learn from it. And that's what Halen is showing here. But yeah, going back to social media. So I hit like, you know, 200,000 followers and it was just too much. I took like a year off to recover from that. And then when I came back, I did another jump from like 200,000 to 500,000 within the span of a couple months again. But this time, at least I was more mentally ready for it. And I was able to actually deal with haters and stuff more constructively, either by ignoring them or I learned to, you know, be able to phrase things that just kind of shut them down rather than feed them. And so from there, I just was able to, I've been able to continue to grow. And again, I've gotten to meet a lot of awesome people like Liam here. So well, I'm quite thankful for the experience.
You switched because, I mean, obviously you started off with more like fitness stuff, but then you started.
Yes.
I mean, I've seen you do everything from like nutrition to talking about, you know, what's it, Tom McDonald, whatever his name is.
Yes.
You know, just talking about like gender roles and stuff.
And like the big cause of the switch was actually the fact that I used to be able to film around equipment, either at my local gym in my basement. And then I was less able to film in my basement and the gym started surprisingly getting like super busy. So I could not set up film equipment at all.
Oh, okay.
And so I kind of like drifted away from that and I started talking about nutrition more and a lot of people were interested about nutrition. People started tagging me in all sorts of things. People started asking questions. And then additionally, for the Tom McDonald stuff and all that stuff, I like to talk about health in general.
Right.
So that's physical fitness, nutritional health, as well as mental health. Because again, like I've suffered a lot with mental health, so I find mental health to be important. And so when things like that come up, when things like toxic masculinity come up, it's a big deal for me. It doesn't come up much in my feed. Not many people tag me in that stuff. And I try not to watch that kind of stuff, so it's not in my feed much. But when it does, it's kind of like, I need to say something about that.
I mean, I definitely understand that when I mostly get tagged in nutrition things. And I'm telling you, I can't do like all like debunking videos or like this sort of stuff. I need to do some videos that are just like positive so that, because whatever you do, you're going to get tagged in more, right? So I have found like I need to do some positive videos. So at least every 20 tags, I have one person that's like, hey, this video is actually nice. And I'm like, thank you. Thank you for tagging me in something that I actually enjoy and other people could hear. This is very nice. So if you listen to this podcast, tag me in some more good things. I'm tired of just nothing but Bobby Parrish.
It is a pleasure when you open the tags and you find something that's like, oh, that was so refreshing to see.
My goodness. Yeah, seriously.
Like, don't get me wrong. I love people tagging me and all the other stuff, giving me content to critique and whatever. But it's just a nice feeling when you open something up and you're just like, oh, that felt so good to watch.
This is actually good advice? Oh my God.
And that's how I met some of the people that I'm now mutuals with, is from people tagging me in good things and me commenting and being like, hey, this was awesome.
Yeah.
Strike up a conversation with them.
And I guess that kind of leads into how we met, which, boy, it was a while ago. And I don't remember exactly what video. I do remember the one Bobby Parrish video where he's talking about canned food. Remember the canned food one? That video kind of blew up.
The canned food one.
Yeah, you remember that one. And, oh, maybe it was the salmon one. It might have been, you know what? It might have been the salmon one.
That salmon one was pretty big. So.
Yeah, that one kind of blew up. So, yeah, it might have been that one. I think I was just, like, commenting on some of your videos. And then eventually you used one of my videos to talk about, like, alcohol, I think, like a while back, where I was talking about how alcohol is a poison. And I don't remember what.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't remember what your video was on that, but you were talking about alcohol, and then you used a clip of mine for that. I was like, "Hey, that's me."
Yeah, yeah. I remember the video. I don't remember what I was talking about either, but I do remember the video. I remember the clip that I was using. It was you, talking about the how the liver. It was a toxin for the liver.
Right, yeah. So it gets basically alcohol gets converted from a poison to a worse poison, essentially.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, I remember that. And then I think we just started
Yes.
talking. I think shortly after that, you started doing maybe like the Wednesday night streams, I think, after that. And then it wasn't
Yeah,
too
it would
long
have been
after that,
shortly
but.
because I started doing those in December last year.
Right. So then I think I hopped into those. And then I think that's, yeah, from there, pretty much just like doing some
Yeah.
collabs here and there, stuff like that.
And now we have a podcast.
And now we got the podcast. We're going to have all the things. Next is a board game. We're
Yes.
going
Oh,
to get all the
yes.
board
In moderation, the board
board
game.
game. Yeah. Survive the crazies. You pick up a card and it's just a long ingredients list. Do you want to read through this or you just want to eat it? Eat it. That is the correct answer. Keep moving.
You drew a Bobby Parish card. List five
Fine.
ingredients that you can't pronounce.
Are they all inflammatory? Yes, then keep on moving. Everything's inflammatory. Does he make money from it? Well, then. We'll workshop the board game idea. We'll get maybe just
We'll
start
come
off with a
back to
card
it. Yeah.
game first.
So speaking of for the money, obviously we've seen that Liam does not have any sponsors at all. Liam, why do you do this?
Well, funny you should say that. So Unicity just called me, and no, I mean it's I never I just like, there's so much out there was really just kind of the classic create the problem, solve the solution, and I just wanted to bring a little bit of sanity to it, and it's just been so enjoyable just talking with people and them telling me. I've just calmed things down for them. They're more relaxed. They don't freak out about food. Maybe they've lost a few pounds. Maybe they haven't. Whatever. I just did like a little video the other day of somebody who just like stitched me and said that like he's feeling better. He's losing a little bit of weight. And so I did a video again talking with his video and just tried to like encourage him. And it was so nice. Like the followers I have, I just. It's so enjoyable for me to be able to just say like, hey, this person, you know, they're trying their hardest. Give them some encouragement. And then you see everyone
Yeah.
just rush over there and just like, hey, you got this. You can do this. And I think his name is Earl, cousin Earl. He
Oh,
just,
yeah. I
yeah,
just saw that
he,
video. Yeah.
okay, just, yeah, he start, he just today started day one and he's like, I'm going out for a 15-minute walk and then I'm going to work with these weights. They're all rusty, but I'm going to do it anyway. And he's like, I'm going to make a
Nice.
video every day, like just tracking my, and you know, to see that like kind of like real difference to me is a lot more important than money from selling some ancient root that was found in the depths of the
Of
Amazon.
Germany.
German, sure, the old German book,
Germany.
that German book that's got all the secrets in it. You know,
Germans have all the secrets. Didn't you know that?
yeah, and what that book told us was what you need is ground up bull testicles supplements is basically what you need. And so, like, more than any of that stuff, like, hey, if that's people's motivation, all the power to them, that's cool. But just being able to hear from people and seeing that you've actually made a change in their life for the better, it's what does is for me is everything.
Yeah, absolutely. It is so stressful sometimes going through social media and making sure you're posting and all this stuff, especially when you're trying to, like, I am trying to make a livelihood out of it,
Oh, yeah.
obviously. I do training and everything. But it is like the greatest feeling when somebody comments or messages you that, like, you help them get over their eating disorder. They have a better relationship with food. They've lost weight because of your advice. And it's just like that keeps you going.
It's the best when they're just like, I didn't realize how simple it was until I talked to you. I thought there was a ton of rules. And you're like, nope, that's all bullshit to get you to buy something. It's actually pretty simple.
Like, I wish I got to respond to more people and, like, just as an announcement, I guess, or something. Like, I try to read as many comments and stuff as I
Right.
can. I don't have the time to sit there and respond to all of them, but I do try to read, like, every single thing. And, like, I love hearing about all that stuff. It's definitely what keeps me going. There's some days where I'm like, I just want to quit social media. And then I read some of the stories from everybody and it's just like, oh, this is why I do it.
Yeah. But it's also kind of like that assorted box of chocolates, you know, where you're like, oh, I helped this person lose weight. I'm a fuckface. This person has a better relationship with food. And so you never know what chocolate you're going to get filled with toothpaste. And you're like, oh, no, I need to get a few more of these chocolates to feel better.
Thankfully, I've grown past that point. But I do remember being at that point where, you know, you were careful about what messages you opened up. Not to jinx myself, knock on wood.
Oh, goodness. Now you get all the haters.
Yep, here come all the haters.
Oh, shit.
Even in terms of money, I, of course, have a couple of sponsors, which I completely, like, I vet the crap out of things. Like, there was one point where I had a sponsor that it was brought to my attention that they were doing some suspicious things, and I just, like, I'm done. Nope, that's it. I dropped them completely. So yeah, that's why I don't have much for sponsors. And then
I can't believe you dropped Subway so fast. not Subway. Not the whole Jared thing. Okay, well, just a guess.
I won't bother like saying anything just for naming the company for just in case. I don't want legal trouble. But like when it comes to like I have my books and my training app and stuff, even with those, I keep trying to drop the price as much as I can so they can be more and more accessible rather than try to make money off them. As long as I'm able to sustain what I'm, you know, basic living standards, I want to make that content as accessible as it can be.
Absolutely. Because you want to help as many people as you can. And so, like, you're like, yes, I want to make a living from this. But, yeah, I mean, like, I totally get it. The only one I've thought of recently that I've been like, you know what, I would take that as a sponsor is this company that sells t-shirts. Because, my God, half of my comments are just, where did you get that shirt?
I've noticed that. Yep.
Holy.
You may as well take this t-shirt sponsorship.
And literally, like, there's this company, Ripped Apparel. They just make, like, they take two geeky things and they smash them together in a t-shirt. And that's all it is. And I'm like, I've always bought their t-shirts. I just enjoy them. Every day there's three new t-shirts and it's like $14. I'm like, oh, that's cool. I'll buy that. And so I'm like, man, I just need a link or whatever. Even if I don't make any money off it, I don't even care if I make money off it. Maybe they send me free t-shirts. They send me free t-shirts. And then I will say, like, here's a little link. Go buy these t-shirts because I just need something to send to people. Because, oh, my God, I just get asked like 50 times a day.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with a sponsorship like that.
Exactly.
It's a t-shirt.
Like, you know what you're getting.
Yeah.
Okay, so now that we spent 3 hours or whatever it was talking about everything else, I think we should talk about the actual elephant in the room and how the hell did you end up in a hospital in the Philippines?
Oh, no. You actually remembered. See, I tried to make you talk about all this other stuff so that you wouldn't remember and I wouldn't have to go over everything.
People would be very upset if we just ended the podcast and didn't mention that at
all. I guess they would
be,
yeah. So for those of you who missed it, I recently went on holiday to the Philippines, and towards the end of my stay, I unfortunately ended up in hospital. I was unable to walk. I was in so much pain, and it was several, dislocated or herniated spinal discs. And there wasn't one specific incident that caused it. It was the result of a lot of things, and it actually dates back to February this year when my dad was in the hospital, and I was sitting in like really bad hospital chairs for a while. I had to drive a lot. I was working, and so I didn't really get a chance to take care of myself, and my back started to get the same ache. It was nowhere near as bad, but it was like starting to herniate, and I didn't take care of myself properly at that point. And it did go away. It didn't go as bad, and it went away. So I didn't think much of it. Flash forward to my vacation. And I guess after the 24 hours of, you know, flying and airports and then just I'm not a person that sits around on vacation. I need to go out and do things. So I just kept being active and pushing myself and everything, and it just all caught up to me. And I don't think the wiping out repeatedly while surfing helped. That's for sure. If you have any sort of back injury in the past, probably shouldn't wipe out 20 times in a row while surfing.
We were talking about learning from our failures. What did we learn?
We learned that I can't surf.
And that I should not continue to try hundreds of times until I end up in the hospital.
Yeah. But like a day or so after the surfing, just in the middle of the night, I just woke up and I was just in immense pain. And I couldn't even be like assisted to a vehicle. We actually had to call in the ambulance and I had to take a stretcher to the hospital. And spent a couple of nights in the ER before I was admitted into the actual hospital itself. I talked to the doctor and I basically said, look, I have to get a flight back to Canada in 3 days. What can we do? And the doctor was like, okay, we're going to admit you to the hospital. We're going to give you a bunch of painkillers in the meantime. And then we're going to just load you up with as much as we can to get you on that flight and get you home. And so that's what they did. They gave me a referral to the anesthesiologist who gave me, I don't even remember how many meds I was on, but I was able to get on the flight, get back to Canada, and I've been recovering since, thankfully. I'm able to actually walk and sit again, but that is why this podcast has been so delayed, is I literally couldn't even sit at my computer to record this with Liam.
Usually when people go to other countries to take a bunch of drugs, it's for different reasons.
Well, learning from my mistakes. But I do want to say a huge thank you to everybody that was concerned and checked in on how I was doing and everything. And thankfully, recovering, it doesn't look like I'm going to need any surgery or anything. And still not 100%, still on painkillers, still kind of out of it, still kind of loopy. Liam's seen that a couple times while I've been recording here. I keep having to stop and go, hey, blip, 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 blip.
Right. And that's why I had to do more Bobby videos while Rob was gone. I had to carry the slack.
Yep. I'm sorry, Liam. I'm sorry.
There was so much stuff you missed.
But that is how my vacation went. Do not recommend getting hospitalized in another country. Please avoid it if you can.
Yeah, I'm still going to try. I can salvage it. I think I can salvage
it. You need to try that experience once.
You learned from your mistake, so I will go and make this mistake.
At least do it, you know, somewhere where it's not a 12-hour flight overseas.
Goodness.
That was so bad.
Rough.
So I hope everybody enjoyed this little insight into us.
And I certainly did because, again, love talking about myself. And if you want to hear me talk about me more, just watch any of my videos.
Okay, I'm going to cut Liam off there. We're done here.
No, wait,
that's
me.
It.
There's
good
still
night,
so
everybody.
Much more. My whole life is ahead of me. I got to talk about it.
Hey, wasn't that a great time? Listen to the podcast. I'm assuming you knew or you were just listening to in moderation. So if you go ahead and hit the 5-star button, is that a thing? The like
that,
button?
That's a thing.
No.
Yep.
The like button 5 on stars. YouTube. If you're on YouTube, hit the like button. Not the dislike button. That's a bad button. The
bad
like
button.
Button.
Bad
Don't
button. Touch.
Hit all, Don't so hit you. All the other buttons. The share,
subscribe,
you can go check out
all those things.
Subscribe. Go check out our Patreon. Yeah. We do have a Patreon. It's free to join if you want, or you could give us some money. That'd be really cool. Like a dollar or two. It doesn't matter. Whatever you have.
That's where you'll find all the news for this.
We're super appreciative. You can find all sorts of other stuff there. We do giveaways, I think, sometimes, you know.
Sometimes.
All that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So peace.